Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week I got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Ace and Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. It's the opposite cast from last week.
Yeah.
Lindsay couldn't join us this morning because she's got I think she's seeing Pet Sematary with Shannon and Allie. I definitely want to know how that goes because I do want to see that movie. But I saw Shazam instead yesterday. More on that later. Spoiler-free review coming up. First,
I saw Shazam.
Yeah, I'm so glad you did because I was worried that I wouldn't have anybody to talk to about it on the show. Mm-hmm. And it was just going to be me rambling about it for a few minutes.
If I hadn't, it all depended on how I felt when I woke up. Because I set an alarm. I didn't even buy my ticket last night. I was like, we'll see how full it is. Let's see how I feel when I wake up. 9 o'clock showing, there was like six people in there.
Yeah, and I went to a just shy of 11 o'clock. I think it was a 10:40 showing. And yeah, I was one of 15 people in the theater. Mm-hmm. I know it did really well on opening day.
Yeah, it was $50 million domestic so far.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't think, I think at this point, DC is just... it'll probably make a crap ton of money globally, especially mm-hmm. once the reviews are all coming out and people will actually start seeing it.
Well, the reviews were out. It was they were bragging about their 93% last week.
Yeah, though the critic reviews have been great, but I'm finding that a lot of people don't trust critic reviews at all.
Fair. I don't.
Which I'm wondering, do people trust us? Hit us up on Facebook.com/Podzilla1985.
We're not necessarily critics.
We're not getting paid to tell you to go watch us on opening day.
No, that's true. Yeah, we just do it as part of our show.
We're just a bunch of a-holes that are like,
this
is cool.
This was awesome.
That's who I want to hear my reviews from. All of my reviews on what if I want to go see a movie are based on Facebook.
Fair. Yeah, just see what friends liked it and friends didn't like it.
Yeah.
But anyway. So we'll get to that in a minute, though. David Harbour, though, has been cast in the Black Widow movie. We don't know as whom, but that man's in everything now.
Is that Hellboy?
Yes.
Okay.
And the sheriff from Stranger Things.
Yep.
Which, good for him.
Right?
Because he's really good. By the way, apparently there's a special edition golden ticket you can get for Hellboy that comes with a Funko.
Yeah,
and Zach a poster.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that. I just knew Funko, so I was like, oh, Dalton probably want to know.
I'm not a big Hellboy guy, so.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kurgis doesn't like Hellboy at all, but he wants that pop.
Which is the weirdest thing. You can go buy a Hellboy pop. They exist.
Yeah, but I think it's an exclusive pop.
It didn't look like it.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, it legit just looked like a Hellboy pop.
Yeah, it might just come with it may just be a pop, which hopefully that's the case for the collectors out there because yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. The movie, I am excited about Hellboy, though. I think that movie is going to be way better than,
anybody. Oh, no, the trailer, actually, because, I heard the announcement. I was like, okay, Hellboy, it's not Guillermo del Toro. Because that's my affinity for Hellboy, is because it was a Guillermo del Toro thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, David Harbour. I was like, okay, that could be fun. And then I saw the trailer.
And isn't del Toro executive producing this one?
I mean, he might be, but,
Executive.
I know he's not
Martin
writing
Scorsese
it.
Martin Scorsese is executive producing the Joker movies. That doesn't necessarily mean that.
He's not directing it or writing
it. And that's that's where I really, really like Del Toro is in those roles.
That's fair.
David Harbour is awesome, and I kind of hope he's the bad guy in the Black Widow movie.
That would be cool.
I think that would be awesome because I'm pretty sure he could play a phenomenal bad guy.
Yeah, I really want to see him be a jerk.
Villain.
Yeah. Because I think he could be a lot because he's so good as. Playing the good guy, and even he looks great as Hellboy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know necessarily.
I mean, and even in Stranger Things, he was kind of a morally gray area good guy, mm-hmm. The reluctant hero.
Yeah, but mostly because
life wasn't doing great for him at that point.
Well, all that, and also what he considered to be right wasn't technically legally right, and so he had to struggle with that.
That's fair.
So yeah, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
So yeah, if he plays opposite Scarlett Johansson, I think that could be great. I can't think of a named Hydra agent or something like that. Cause we don't know what this movie's going to be. I think the rumor is it's going to be a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really have any confirmation on any of that yet.
Right. And I really, the only big characters, cause I don't know a whole lot about Black Widow's lore. The only kind of big characters that David Harbour even could be, if they go from something from the comic books, specifically for Black Widow anyway, is all about her upbringing in her training to be an assassin and all that good stuff. The Red Room or whatever it was called. I think that's where she was trained or what it was called.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Wasn't the White Hot Room.
No, it's not the White Hot Room. That is very exclusive to one character. but anyway, yeah, no, we don't have any information other than that. Just David Harbour's been cast, mm-hmm. and you know, like I said, good for him.
Score.
I want that dude in more stuff. Yeah. so we also got a Joker trailer. Mm-hmm. So we finally got to see Joaquin Phoenix in way more action. We got a lot more information about the plot, and this very much looks like a movie that I will enjoy. As long as I go in realizing that this is not any kind of a DC Joker. This is a movie mm-hmm. that has used the same character name as a character in the DC universe with a similar motif.
I'm interested. Yeah. Like, that's the best way to say it. Like, this has piqued interest for this movie that I didn't care about.
Because I kind of went from why are they doing this to... Well, why are they doing this? It looks really good. But still, because I'm very torn on the trailer. Mm. On the one hand, Joker to me is a force of evil. I don't want to sympathize with him. I don't want to know where he got his start. And if they do play it kind of like this is him telling his story to someone. And then, like, they're just like, no. Like,
none of that happened.
Yeah, it's like, we know this person is dead. Like, you can't be telling us this. Or something like, because... I don't think he's going to be in any other DC movies, which is fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't need the Joker to have an origin story. I don't want to sympathize with him. I am genuinely terrified that as bad as, you know, look at every Comic-Con you go to and Harley Quinn, this is going to be that, but for neckbeards. This is going to just be a whole dredge of society that now looks to him as a heroic figure.
You think he's going to be the new V?
Yeah. 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 Like, absolutely. Of just like, yeah, everyone's keeping me down, too. Like, ugh, this could walk a real fine line. It's one of those things where it's like, I'll probably enjoy the movie, but then the fan base is going to ruin it for me.
I could absolutely see that happening. Fan bases are really good at ruining movies.
Yeah, but that said, like, I loved the laugh. Seeing him in the purple suit was awesome.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix is a phenomenal actor. Not, you know, can't really speak to the person because
the character individual
and you know it is, you know, Martin Scorsese's attached to it, the director is like Todd Phillips, I think
that sounds right,
he's a really good director, so I think this is going to be really good. It's
not going to be a DC movie,
which is fine,
yeah,
and like all things considered probably for the best.
Like, that's just one of those things I have to keep telling myself, because if I go in wanting it to be like,
like, we're not going to get Batman. Like, Batman's not going to show up in this.
Yeah, apparently Bruce Wayne was in the trailer at some point.
I don't agree with that. I think that's a fan theory.
Yeah.
That I 100% am willing to just say, no, let it go. Like, just, it's not, and you will never convince me that it is. They could say, he could name drop Bruce Wayne, sorry about your murdered parents. And I'm going to assume, oh, that's unfortunate that another Bruce Wayne had his parents murdered.
His parents, Martha and Thomas.
My favorite.
What an odd coincidence.
There's a comedian that I follow on Twitter that said, if they name the Joker's mom Martha, I will stand up and applaud.
Oh, I will stand up and applaud on my way out of the theater.
No, just in the middle as soon as he says that name.
Nope. Out of the theater.
Applauding by throwing both birds to the screen and yelling obscenities the entire time.
Congratulations, you got me to walk out of the first movie I've ever walked out of. Good job.
I've fallen asleep at a couple. I'm actively leaving yours.
Yep. Same thing. I have fallen asleep during two movies in my life. And both of them had nothing to do with the movie. It was just because as a college student, I made poor time decisions. In that most nights I didn't sleep more than a couple of hours.
The mm-hmm. couple times it happened to me, it was always rewatches. I'd go to a theater to see a movie again.
And you'd fall asleep.
Like, yeah, just like, oh. And it's not that the movie was boring. I was just tired. Same thing where it's just like, oh, I wish I could respect this bit.
Yeah, you remember that story that I've told before of the Watchmen? My final project?
Oh, yeah.
I'd been awake for 36 hours straight or something like that. Mm-hmm. And went into a movie theater like that night after getting a few hours sleep because I crashed when I got back to my apartment, went to a movie, fell asleep during the movie too.
Was it you or Shannon that everyone that you went and saw The Watchmen with fell asleep? Because it was like a midnight showing.
I went with Shannon and none of us fell asleep.
Okay, maybe it was another viewing or something, or maybe it was a different movie.
Yeah, or maybe somebody else fell asleep. But yeah, I remember seeing the movie in theaters with Shannon.
Okay.
Because it was me, Shannon, Lindsay, Stephanie, I think Bob and somebody else. And I know Stephanie was extremely uncomfortable during several parts of the movie.
Right.
But that was about all I remember being special from it.
It might have been a different movie then. I thought it was Watchmen. Because Watchmen was kind of long.
Watchmen was really long, and we definitely did see a late showing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, moving back to new stuff. So yeah, the Joker movie, I will see it. Yeah. I just have to, like I said...
We just got to kind of separate the character from...
The movie.
From the movie, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be hard, but...
Honestly, at this point, I kind of want to go back and rewatch the DC movies now with that mindset of, okay, this is very clearly, like, this is the story they're telling. Maybe I'm being unfair to these movies and just, like, I need to kind of remove these characters as I want them to be and go back and rewatch.
I think Suicide Squad, like...
Oh, no, I
that one's still bad.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to go back to that one. Because even if it wasn't Harley and Joker, like, you are romanticizing a terrible, terrible relationship of how, like, and how you treat someone. Yep. Like, that's just...
And then they gave the Suicide Squad a bad guy that the Suicide Squad would never be the ones dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
That was a Superman-level threat.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that...
Justice League level
that
threat.
That was the... you call the Justice League for that one, not the Suicide Squad. Justice League
dark-level threat.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, moving on though, Idris Elba, speaking of Suicide Squad, he is not replacing Will Smith, as in he will not be Deadshot. Mm-hmm. In fact, Deadshot will not be in the film at all.
Mm-hmm. They said this is another one of those out of respect to Will Smith, because this wasn't a thing where Will Smith and they fired Will Smith or they left on bad terms. This was just a scheduling conflict. So... they didn't want to totally, even though this is a total reboot, and we know for sure Margot Robbie and the actress who played Amanda Waller.
Mic on.
Bitch. Yeah.
Okay.
I hope so.
Yeah, you were just, like, I don't know, you just dipped real quiet there.
Oh, weird. So. But the actress who plays Amanda Waller is coming back. Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn is coming back. Mm-hmm. They tried to get Will Smith back. And now, even though it is a total reboot, of the Suicide Squad, so it's real easy to tell
that it's a different film.
Yeah, they're still just not going to use. Oh, and Jai Courtney is coming back as Captain Boomerang. He said.
Ooh. Also, Viola Davis.
Viola Davis, yes, thank you. So they're bringing back a chunk of the original cast.
Yeah.
Total reboot.
Total reboot.
Total reboot. Shot for shot.
It's,
we'll see.
Like, it's a different universe.
That would actually kind of be. All right, this is the conspiracy theory that I'm just coming up with now, so bear with me. Disney pretended to fire James Gunn, knowing that Warner Brothers, who's just, you know, swimming in their wake like the parasite that they are in the movies, would just be like, oh, we got something for him. James Gunn is a double agent. He's going in to tank whatever project Warner Brothers in DC is a part of, because Disney hungry. Disney is Galactus. Planet Fox has been consumed. Warner Brothers is next in line in the solar system.
I feel like Sony is next in line. Warner Brothers is down the line, though. Like they're putting out. They sent the Herald out. James Gunn is the Herald.
The Silver Surfer. Run from it. Fear it.
Because I think right now they're at Sony. Like the Herald's already left Sony. The Herald in that case was Tom Holland. But anyway,
just telling him the entire plan.
But at the same time, like, at least Idris Elba's still going to be in the movie.
Yes,
he's just not going to play Deadshot.
Right. Which would be like, who knows who they're going to have him play at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really cool to see him as
Deadshot. Yes.
Yes, that would have been really cool. I kept almost saying Deadpool, and I was like, no, not Deadpool, Deathstroke.
I mean, yeah. Also, to both of those, yes.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think there's anyone that they could cast Idris Elba as that I would be mad about.
Yeah,
Harley Quinn.
No, yeah.
I'd be on board. See Joker try to pull that again.
There actually was a male Harley Quinn in the comic book very briefly. In that, like, it Harley recruited a gang of Harleys.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just, it was also Harley Quinn because
Joker tried to smack up on Idris Elba. That game wouldn't last long at all.
Oh, in the comic book, at least, though. Joker was long gone from Harley's life. But anyway, moving back here, yeah, Idris Elba's still going to be in it. Just we don't know who yet. So Shazam, I'm going to go ahead and talk about that real quick. So I'm going to, well, Asa, you go ahead and start out and I'll jump up on you.
I liked it a lot. It was good. I definitely didn't like it as much as you did, but it's, I do think this is probably the best thing that they've done. Like, they just continue to one up the previous film that they've put out.
Mm.
This was a lot of fun. There were several moments that, you know, I legit chuckled.
Yes.
In the theater. Zachary Levi was really, really good as adult Shazam. All of the, like, all, again, we say it almost with all of these DC movies, even the ones we didn't like, the performances are really good.
Yes.
Like, the acting is really, really good.
Typically, it's the writing that really kind of sinks
the ship. Didn't really have a lot of those problems. There were certainly moments, especially at the end, that you kind of have to just let go and be like, yeah, there's no reason you would know these facts. No one's had these conversations with you, but you just know things that you really have no reason knowing. But whatever, it's not the point. We're moving past it.
I think I know the scene you're talking about because I thought about it too.
There's a couple.
There's one in particular. Anyway.
Yeah, there's one real bad one. But like, so yeah, there's things that... But it's just one of those, it's a superhero B movie, like, just here we go. I definitely think it didn't need to be 2 hours.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Some of the stuff, like even like the opening scene was like, oh, this is just kind of keeps going in a movie that's not about this guy. Cause it very much is the Marvel, mirror match.
Yeah. They tried to do like the sympathetic villain setup,
but not really, like, cause he was not sympathetic at all.
I'd, like, by the end of it, like, you saw, like, they gave, like, the early... finish your review. We'll,
that's pretty much it. It's just, it's, like, this is very much a movie establishing Billy Batson and Shazam, and it does a good job of that. I kind of liked the idea of, like, someone just... Bless you. Sorry. Child just all of a sudden, like, hey, here's your God mode code. Bye.
Yeah.
And then him trying to, like, figure out...
Because that was, like, actually a pretty different take on it.
Yeah.
Because, like, historically, there's been the tiger, and then the wizard has stuck around.
There were a lot of really, really subtle nods that I didn't initially even pick up. Mm-hmm. But, like, as I'm reading through some, like, other reviews and, like, Easter eggs, like, the name of the high school is Fawcett High or whatever it's called. That's the name of the original comic company that published Captain Marvel.
Huh.
You know, the tiger makes an appearance, but not really.
Yeah.
A couple times. It was really good. It was a lot of fun. Those moments of him and Freddy trying to, we saw in the trailer of, like, you know, the flight test, things like that. Those were great. But it also had, we talked about in the other reviews previously how this was a lighter movie.
Yeah.
And this was a much more fun movie than any other DC project before. And it has. That doesn't mean that there's not some really kind of heartstring tugging, kind of heavy moments.
There was one moment in particular where I'm just like,
707?
Yeah. Yeah, that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Asa mentioned not enjoying it as much as me because I posted on some social media that I very much did enjoy this. I do believe that it has dethroned Wonder Woman as the best movie in this universe, which for me is pretty high praise because I did really, really like Wonder Woman.
And I mean, and up to this point, you can't really argue that Wonder Woman wasn't the best thing DC's done,
right,
film-wise.
Because, yeah, I mean, I know we have, especially in our group, some differing of opinions on Aquaman. I still haven't seen it.
And Justice League.
And Justice League.
But, like,
League.
I even still, like, I'm, as the person who liked both of those movies the most out of our friend group, I think it's safe to say, like, yeah, I still enjoyed Wonder Woman. I think was a better movie.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, nobody in our group debates, like, Wonder Woman was a really solid film. Like, it was a good movie. But yeah, no, I actually did like this more than Wonder Woman. There's one thing in particular where, like, I feel like they cut a scene that would have presented some information that was brought up later on that I'm like, unless she's just, I guess I could see her figuring it out real quick because it wasn't, what's the word I'm looking for, difficult to ascertain.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, there was one character that just knew something that she probably shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's not really a big deal. My other complaint, Zachary Levi, I feel like was better at playing a 14-year-old than the 14-year-old they cast.
See, and I thought it was more of, like, it's just empirically better to be a superhero than an orphan who's, you know, constantly running away from...
No, yeah, don't get me wrong.
Because, as the kid, he was, you know, definitely a little bit moodier than... not that I expected him to be, but, like, the turn of when he went from to hey seemed real quick.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice to see a little bit of progression leaning that way, which we got a little bit of, in fairness.
Yeah, because you just had, like, you had Zachary Levi just, like, you know, super excitable trying to play, you know, he did a really good job of playing, like, mm-hmm. a 14-year-old in a grown man's body
right.
that just got, you know, superpowers.
Right.
But then you have, like, you know, he goes back to being Billy, and, like, he loses all of the excitement and everything else, goes back to being moody and broody.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's, yeah, I don't know, like, that was one thing that irked me a little bit, but it's not a huge deal. Like, yeah. I said, it's tiny, tiny irk. Mm-hmm.
The suit doesn't get better.
No, you just kind of have to let that go.
It's still very much, like, I got used to it, but I was like, yeah, even in motion, like, this looks bad. It really did make me pine for just, like, why John Cena is right there.
Yeah, no, that would have been way better. Just, like, honestly, most of the suit was fine, like, after a few minutes, but the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
The shoulders never moved right.
Yeah, because, like, they weren't...
They were just, you know, they were gigantic pads.
Mm-hmm.
So it just didn't... didn't look right. It didn't move like actual shoulders do. Like, I would have preferred them to CG him than wearing this, like, ridiculous muscle suit.
I don't know, because there was some wonky CG. The biggest standout to me was the mall scene where he's...
Oh yeah,
that looked rough.
That did look rough. A lot of the flying looked pretty rough. Mm-hmm. In fair, I mean, that's something that I feel like they have had problems with in, like, every movie they've done. Any character that has flown,
mm-hmm.
it looks rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe it's because, like, and granted, it's because it was entirely CG. But, like, I just rewatched Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And that looked great. Like, yeah. Him in the suit, like, and especially the little touches of him, like, being unsteady at the beginning too. Like, before he really gets the hang of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, and then, yeah, but then this movie's made 10 years later. And it's just like, whoo.
Yeah, because they're still using the same flying effects that they used in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, no, like, Marvel has figured out how to make it look like someone is flying. And they're real good at it now.
Yeah.
Like, I never questioned, like, yeah, that person is moving through the air like no man should.
like some sort of... human, but, like, better, like a superhuman. Yeah. It's craziness.
But anyway, no, like, it's one of those things. I will say, like, I'm giving this high praise. It's important to note, it's high praise for a DC film.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, still doesn't crack top 10 Marvel. I had that, like, brand new movie, like, eyes going yesterday when I thought, like, it might crack top 10 Marvel. Mm-hmm. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It's still, like, it competes with the lower tier Marvel movies.
Yeah,
I would say, but yeah, like, it's still very much a DC movie. It's not. There's gonna be a lot of problems. There's a lot of problems with it. There's a lot of, like I said, the CG problems. A lot of, like, some writing issues. The writing is getting better as mm-hmm. they progress. Like, as they're, I guess, figuring out what they're wanting to do. We actually had a clear motive, plot, villain. Villain had clear backstory. Everything, like, it was, that was at least good and a step up from previous movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it still had its DC. Warner Brothers still has issues.
Yeah.
But I would still give this a if you like. Cheesy, action-y. I mean, I wouldn't even say it was cheesy. If you like just entertaining, fun superhero movies, Shazam is a full price.
Mm-hmm.
In general, though, I would say it's still absolutely worth seeing in theaters for a matinee.
Yeah, I mean, in my review would be a matinee, just because it's a fun movie. It also benefits from, like, since it has no ties to any of the other DC properties, it's easy to just, like, this could be your first one.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, if you've been scared off by the other DC movies based on, like, all of the nerds online hating them, like, you could, this one is worth going to just because, like you said, it's a fun superhero movie. You don't need to know anything about any of the other DC properties. It's very much standalone.
Yep.
And honestly, like, this is the first one that I'm hoping they make a sequel to. Like, Aquaman, if they make a sequel, I'm going to see it, but I'm not going to be heartbroken if they don't. I actively want there to be another Shazam movie.
Oh, I agree. Because I'm invested in what's happening in that story right now.
Yeah.
After seeing that movie. Like, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. So, yeah, a solid matinee. Definitely go check that out if you guys get the chance. All right. Next bit of news here. We got a Cowboy Bebop live action cast. We've got at least your primary four, which this is one of those things I know nobody else at the table cares a whole lot. Cowboy Bebop, though, is one of my favorite anime of all time.
I always enjoyed watching it when I caught it, but I've never been like I've never seen it all the way through. I've seen like individual episodes, and every time I've seen it, I really liked it.
The first several episodes especially, you can almost watch without having, you know, any context at all. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of episodes that like there's an overarching story, but they have, I'm not going to call it Monster of the Week because that's not what it is, but like it has an individual story in every episode.
Self-contained.
Yeah, self-contained is good. I have the DVDs if you want to borrow them at any point.
Might have to do that once Endgame comes out.
There you go. They've cast the main four, which is Spike Spiegel, Jet Black, Faye Valentine, and Vicious. Vicious being the bad guy. The other three are the primary three protagonists of the story. John Cho is Spike Spiegel. That's Harold from Harold and Kumar.
Yeah, it's very, very... That's real interesting casting to me because... Correct me if I'm wrong, but Spike is a pretty... like, character-wise, yes. But, like, for the action side of things.
Right.
That's where my disconnect comes from.
Because, yeah, I guess John Cho is going to be doing a whole lot... Like, he has to be doing a whole lot of fighting because, yeah, Spike is... Like, he's an excellent marksman as well as hand-to-hand fighter. Mm-hmm. Like, really good at hand-to-hand combat. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I see Harold... doing
a third movie now
because I've seen John Cho in enough things that like that's not where my brain immediately goes to.
I don't know, like, what else he's even been in.
He was in Searching. I think that was the name of it, but he's a really, really good actor.
Fair enough.
Like so I absolutely think he could nail the character side of it, just kind of that too cool for school, you know, really laid back, just
yeah,
that I remember Spike as being, and I could be wrong because like I said,
that's
limited exposure. Because the one thing that I remember is him trying to teach the dude how to fight, and he's just like fluid. Everything's just, you're just kind of moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I could kind of see that, but yeah, I don't know enough about John Cho to know if he's going, like, how he'll do in a very martial arts heavy thing.
Yeah, because that's always where you got to worry with stuff like that, because that's what, like, Iron Fist had a lot of problem with.
Mm-hmm.
The actor they got was good at stage combat, but he was not good at martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
So it showed in the first season of Iron Fist. But, yeah, I guess we'll see. We got Mustafa Shakir as Jet Black, which this casting is pretty cool. That was, he was in Luke Cage season 2. Is it Bushwhacker? It's not Bushwhacker. It's Bush something. He was the bad guy. Bushmaster. Yeah, he was the bad guy in Luke Cage season 2.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, no, this could be cool. Like that, because I think he could nail that role. Because it's going to be very different than his role in Luke Cage. But because Jet Black is like an ex-cop. And yeah, now.
Is he the taller, bald guy with like the hoop ring still going? Okay.
Yep. So I don't know if they're going to give...
I don't know these characters. I'm sorry. You're looking at me like...
It was the hope ring.
Yeah, he has a hope ring.
Yeah, I don't know these characters either.
And some, like, cybernetic implants and stuff like that. He's cool. Like,
he was kind of like the mentor figure, like, mechanic.
Yeah, he was kind of like the leader pilot-ish. Oh, yeah, I say leader. He wasn't really the leader. But, yeah, he's like the pilot home base, the Overwatch, if you will, for Spike. But he could also, like, fight, set stuff up, figure stuff out, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you have Faye Valentine will be played by Daniela Pineda. I have no idea what she's been in.
I don't know that name.
Honestly, I saw the headline, so I sent it to the group chat because I kind of assumed this would be, like, a you and Lindsay and Mandy thing.
Yep. Sadly. Because they also both love Cowboy Bebop. So, and then we've got Alex Hassel as Vicious, which is the... It's hard to say he's the primary bad guy, but he is the big bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say much more. Because there's a lot of reasons for that. But either way, yeah, like, I don't know that he could really pull that off either, but yeah, I'm excited to find out because I love Cowboy Bebop. And then the last bit of news for this section of the podcast, Tim Burton's Beetlejuice sequel has been scrapped.
Which, that's a bummer because they seem to have, like, the original cast seemed to be...
all for it.
Yeah.
So
what was it going to be, like, Beetlejuice Goes to Hawaii or something like that?
I don't remember if there was a...
I know I that was going to be... the. I knew that
there was
gonna...
like, some sort of hook to it. But yeah, I don't fully remember how...
And it's... like, it is a bummer, but it's also one of those where it's like...
did it need it?
It didn't need it, and, like, I'm cool with Beetlejuice just being a standalone.
Yeah.
Like, that movie is going to stand the test of time and be good enough to where it never needs a sequel. Like, and it's not like Bill or Ted where, like, Bill and Ted where it's like, I mean, I'll see a third movie. I am more than fine with that. But, like, this is just, like, I feel like you could really ruin these characters.
I mean, it's definitely...
started talking about Bill and Ted, and I was getting ready to dash wild, are you?
No, like, I like
be Bill, real careful.
I like Bill and Ted a lot, and it's just like, no, and it's the same thing with, like, Jay and Silent Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will always watch the next movie because I, like, those characters are very funny to me, and, like, but Beetlejuice is one of those, like, you really risked losing those characters, like, losing the hook on that.
I would agree more if it wasn't for the fact that it was all of the original people were on board, because it's like, yeah, if they announced Toy Story 5 in 3 years, but it's not going to include, like...
Tom Hanks.
And... well, not even the voice actors, but, like, you know, this is a different, like, Pixar... the main Pixar team isn't going to work on it.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be like, no, why?
Yeah. Just, it's got to be the main people.
That's not your thing. You hands off. But if it is... so I'm a little bit more bummed just because it would have been the original people.
Yeah.
Which, granted, that doesn't necessarily mean it was going to be good. See, The Dark Knight...
Rises.
Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. Or no.
There's the Dark Knight. Dark Knight Rises. Not and the Batman Begins is the first one.
Not the movie. The Frank Miller.
Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Strikes Again.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay. Yeah, and then you nailed it the first two times.
No. They didn't nail it the first time. They nailed it the first time. Second time was okay. Master Race, I think is what it was called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The new one where it was just like, hey, it's been like 15 years. I'm gonna do this again. Like, maybe not. Like,
especially as his art has kind of gone down the drain.
Yeah. So, you know, there is, you do run that risk. It isn't always a guarantee, but it, you know, definitely lends more confidence for me at least.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. All right. So this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends in Perryville, Missouri at Villainous Grounds.
I'm gonna see y'all soon.
Very soon, actually. Before they will have had an opportunity to listen to this.
You would have already, you've already seen them. Time travel, listening. The one thing you hate the most.
So, yes, please stop by there for all of your comic book needs. So, Rusev and Lana.
Whoa! Those are names I didn't think would ever hear before.
Writing a comic book with Jason Starr.
That's cool.
It's going to be called Dark Country. They actually posted to their social media, Lana's social media in particular, which, by the way, I knew she wasn't Russian, but it was still weird.
Jarring.
Like, hearing her talk like in just an American accent. Yeah, her voice.
Oh, boy. If you watched Wrestling Week to Week, it's very jarring because it goes from Russian to nothing to kind of Russian. Like, they don't really...
Yeah, I mean, she does all right in the pay-per-views. It's one of those things that's like, you watch it and you're like, that is not your actual accent.
Mm-hmm.
You just are doing really a half-decent job of copying your husband's accent.
But he's Bulgarian.
But yeah, he's Bulgarian.
I mean, it's really similar.
She goes full comic book villain with it.
it's Lana and Rusev with their dog on the social media. They're decked out in comic book apparel talking about this book they're writing.
They did a whole tease, like an entire weekend of announcing a pregnancy. And then it's like... Also, so we've been talking about it. Here's the newest member of our family, and it's their dog. I love them so much.
Yeah, they're great.
They are so, like, genuinely hilarious people. So if you only know them from, like, WWE, like, it's easy to think that, you know, they're kind of one-dimensional. But, like, they're not. Like, it's so, like...
I mean, even just from this one little clip that I saw, like, it was very clearly just very different people. They even said at one point, like, we love you guys, even if we play bad guys on TV sometime. I mean, they just seem like wholesome people.
Yeah.
And now the joke makes sense where Lana says Rusev is pregnant at some point during the clip. But yeah, no, they're just... They've got the dog there. The dog's wearing a Spider-Man outfit. Like it's pretty adorable, and they're talking about this. So like the one of the big things they're talking about though, they are looking for artists to draw the comic, because I guess this is going to be like self-published, which is pretty awesome. I don't know if they're going to look into publishing elsewhere or not, but yeah, they're like anybody out there that wants to draw. Like apparently they just want a sample of you drawing Lana and Rusev.
Greg Capullo.
I mean, Rusev is what happens when Greg Capullo draws a human, and yes. That it came to life.
Yeah, that's accurate. So they put
Greg Capullo?
That would be awesome, but yeah, no, they put out on their social media. Yeah, but they put out on social media that they're looking for an artist. Like anybody can draw like them and send a sample basically to like they've set up an email for it, darkcountrycomic@gmail.com.
Time.
I'm just picturing if Greg Capullo just actually did draw Rusev, but he already looks like a Greg Capullo character, so he's just gonna end up looking like Kingpin and Enter the Spider-Verse.
Just a big block of meat.
He was way too happy. Oh. I needed to know what his thought was.
Oh. He was very excited about that thought.
Party juice is kicking in.
Is it Coke Zero? Coke Zero? Okay. I need the fan collective to know what party juice is.
So yeah, if you are an artist and you want to submit to this, yeah, it's going to be a paying gig, and you will get to hang out with Lana and Rusev.
Wish I knew how to draw.
Same. Because that would have been so cool.
I wonder if I can trick like Lindsay or Allie to like, let me pretend to be them, like Millie Vanilli.
And then you draw just in front of us. No, but here's all my work.
I can only draw in the comfort of my home.
I can't do it. It's like Ben Stiller in Mystery Men. I can't do it if people are watching.
That's Kel.
That was Kel. Yeah.
That was Kel. Okay.
Yeah. Kel was the Invisible Man.
I love Mystery Men so much.
It was.
Yeah. Oh no, I watched it like 2 years ago. It's still like I don't know if it holds up because I'm kind of dumb when it comes to movies. I'll admit it, but man, I love that movie.
I need to watch it again because I haven't watched it since the '90s.
Oh, it's so good.
But anyway, I did what? Never mind. It's not important. So yeah, May 1st, 2019 is the deadline. You can look up Lana on Instagram if you want like more details. But yeah, at the very least, I think they just want samples of your drawings of Lana and Rusev.
Just also make sure you don't look that Instagram up next to your significant other. It will get you in trouble.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm looking for an art gig. bikini picture.
Yeah, I didn't actually, because I just saw the clip somebody posted to like from Lana's Instagram. Yeah. I didn't actually see Lana's Instagram, but with what she shows up on W. the emphatic look on Ace's face.
Worth it.
Anyway, I it doesn't surprise me is the point I was getting to. But, you know, that's just kind of cool. It's going to be a paying gig.
Which
they
is awesome because, like, it's so easy to, like, even people who are not even a fraction as famous as these two and, you know, the whole choosing beggars, like, well, no, it's going to be great exposure for you. Like, no, you don't work for free. Like, if you're an artist, you don't do it for free. Like,
Yeah, and Rusev did say, like, in addition to all the great exposure, it will be a paying gig.
Because this legitimately would be great exposure.
Yes.
But yeah, you don't have to, but you know, you can't pay rent on exposure.
Right. So. Yeah, exposure does not pay rent. It might eventually. But yeah. I just thought that was really, really cool. And like Comic Book News Week, guys, because this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their shows and social media links at ps2jshow.com. Dalton's got something to say.
Start with Lana and Rusev.
It doesn't.
Dang it. Going from comics to movies.
Devil May Cry was their last History of Gaming episode. So give that a listen. See if you like it. So Borderlands 3 got a lot more news, and I cannot begin to express to you two how bummed I was that neither of you were here last week.
Yeah, I was really upset that I was out of town when the first trailer and the actual announcement happened.
Yep.
because I was like, oh, I could gush about Borderlands 3.
And then Dalton just bailed on me straight
up. I was moving.
Dalton just bailed on me straight up.
Oh, you lovely human.
Yeah, no. It was an hour and a half out of your moving schedule.
Oh, no, that wouldn't have worked. There's no way that would have worked. There's absolutely no way that would have worked. But you lovely human. I mean, human.
If you carried it, would have worked. It's fine. God. So Borderlands 3, though.
So Borderlands 3.
I don't
want
to talk about Dalton. I want to talk about Borderlands 3.
Yeah. Because, yeah, no, Lindsay and Allie are very much not even,
Borderlands people.
They don't care at all. So I was just like, yeah, all this stuff happened. There was a gun that ran. It
did. I like the nobody gearbox running gun. Running gun.
Yeah, no, I love everything about that running gun. So anyway, yeah, so we got a lot more news for the first week after announcement. Like, there's been so much news about this game. So first I'm going to start with, like, they announced the additions of the game. We're going to get, there's going to be four total, including, you know, you get the standard edition, then you have the deluxe edition is going to be $79.99, come with five different content packs, including, like, some character and weapon skins, some trinkets, some mods, some other stuff, and, I don't know, presumably a neater box. They have slightly different box art, I think, for each of them, but you don't get the steelbook with that. Then you have the Super Deluxe is $99.99, comes with the previous stuff, plus the Season Pass, which is probably going to be end up being the addition that I'm going to get because Borderlands DLC is always really good.
Yeah,
oh, it's so much fun.
Granted, it's been a while since we've gotten anything, but they kind of really set the bar on how DLC should be done in the previous generation.
Yep.
Because both versions, Borderlands 1 and 2, like... Yeah, it wasn't critical to the main story. Like, everything was a very self... It was a full experience, just the base game. But it was there was so much content to it.
Yep.
To that to the DLC episodes that it was definitely worth it.
We've talked about it all the time, you know, and, like, the uprising of the DLC, like, you know, stuff. Where you have, like, people dropping day one DLC and all this stuff. And, like, Gearbox and Borderlands... have like that is the best possible way to do DLC.
Yeah,
it was just like you have played this full and complete game with a full story that is if you would like more content, here it is. And it's Borderlands, so yes, I would like more content, please and thank you.
Yeah. Man, all of Borderlands 2 DLC, the pirate stuff was a little underwhelming, but like I'll give that one a pass because of the Dungeons and Dragons one and Torg's like Academy of Badassery.
I played Torgs. I never played the Dungeons & Dragons one, which I need to. Actually, oh, Badasses, I think it's called.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry for the language, folks. That's just the Borderlands.
That's just the name of it. It's in the Bible.
The end of that one.
Yeah, no, I do know about that part.
I don't.
Yeah, we need to do a Borderlands 2 playthrough.
I'm going to start downloading today.
Handsome Jack collection's on sale for Xbox.
I already own it.
It's like $15.
Oh, well, I have it on PS4.
I also have it on PS4, so we should get it on Xbox.
Man. That's two people buying stuff. How many times do you want me to buy Borderlands 2?
As many as us. You're behind.
I may already own it on Xbox.
You?
So.
I definitely don't.
Lovely human.
Hook up my PS4.
Listen, I've told you guys my problem with Borderlands.
No, like we all have it. You're just a little bit worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just stage 4. Yeah. Like I'm stage 3, Dalton's stage 2.
Yeah, that's probably about accurate. Boy, I love that game. And I went ahead and bought the they had the big like Borderlands bundle on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't own the pre-sequel on Steam, so I went ahead and just bought that too.
I still haven't touched the pre-sequel.
Yeah, I haven't either. So I have it on PC now because we talked about it last week. They've added the 4K versions. Like if you own the base game, you get the 4K.
Yep.
So
and the Borderlands 1 Game of the Year Edition or whatever they're calling it came out. That apparently not only is it just like an updated look at it,
but they added stuff.
They added mechanics and
different mechanics to the game.
Plus, like stuff that was from like the second game that wasn't in the first game. They kind of like went back and added features to that too, which make it more playable. Which not that it wasn't playable before, just like the improvements that they made to 2, they went back and added to 1.
Huh. Yes,
so.
So I would honestly be okay with doing a full Borderlands playthrough.
We don't have that kind of time.
We don't. Like, there's no chance. Like, look at our schedules. Look how often we play games together as it is.
No, I understand that.
Like,
I'm saying what I want to do.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
I have to buy all these games on Xbox One, apparently.
Or PC.
No, Xbox One. We're excluding someone if we go PC.
Oh, fair enough.
We should go on PC.
You have one that would run Borderlands.
Okay, but you want to play that game. Who's Jesse going to pick? Look at yourself. I can like, deep PC. Inside. Do a deep introspective look.
Really?
And ask yourself that question.
It's just because you don't play games with me. You buy them to play with me.
And I never do.
And then you don't.
I waste the money.
And then I'm like, hey, Dalton, let's play this. Oh, I didn't bring my Xbox. Mm-hmm. You moron.
I don't do that today because I didn't bring my Xbox.
You idiot.
You
anyway.
Yes, you idiot.
I have homework in the Smash
and we got,
today.
But we also got a release date, and it's so much closer than
yeah,
we thought.
So much closer. September 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Which, going back to, so for PC folks, a little bit of bummer news, I guess, for some people. Like, I personally am a jerk that's been going on about this.
Mm-hmm.
For the first 6 months, it's going to be exclusive to the Epic Game Store, and then it'll release on Steam.
Yep.
It'll be cross-platform between Steam and Epic and wherever else you buy it.
And Xbox, potentially.
Yeah, and, yeah, it's supposed to be cross-platform with Xbox as well. So, yeah, it's going to have cross-platform support.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a huge deal. A lot of people don't like the Epic Game Store. There's a lot of valid reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's also a lot of invalid reasons.
Yes.
And it's just like, and even the owner of Epic, like the CEO, was on Twitter and he was like, hey, I get that you may not like our service because it's not where we want it to be right now, admittedly. But don't just lie about it.
Right.
Like, yeah, voice your valid criticisms. Don't just be like, okay, so a Chinese company kind of owns part of it, so spyware. Because that's not true. Like,
right. For all of you saying that, I want to slap you upside the head mm-hmm. because it's not true.
Especially when if you play League of Legends. Because guess what? Tencent owns a lot of stakes in a lot of video game companies.
Yep. So, yeah, no, if that's what's stopping you from using the Epic Game Store, uninstall League,
yep.
Unsubscribe from Spotify,
mm-hmm.
Delete your account on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tencent is in, they have their fingers in a lot more things than you think.
They're just international Google.
A little bit, yeah. They're in so much stuff. So much stuff. So, I mean, and you wonder, like, if anything that you play has a Chinese New Year event, it's because Tencent is involved. But anyway, that's it's dumb criticism. There you have valid concerns with there have been security breaches with the Epic Game Store, which valid. They've added like two-step verification at this point, so that happens less frequently, but it's still that is a problem.
Mm-hmm. It's lacking a bunch of features.
It doesn't have near as many features as Steam. Again, it hasn't been around as long.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, like the exclusive stuff that they're doing is the only way for them to kind of like try to budge in on the monopoly that Steam has
right.
on these games. Because right now, like publishers release to Steam because there's no other option.
Yeah. And so Steam can set the prices of whatever they want. And so they can, give the share. Because right now, Epic gives a better share to the creators.
Yes.
Because they still got all that. They got billions of Fortnite money.
And they've also got, they don't have a huge stake in the game. So they have to, make their store more appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're really only making it more appealing to publishers and developers, which is a little bit of a problem. They are working on, they have a release window of, features they're adding to the store to make it more consumer-friendly.
Right.
And again, I'm not saying that I am all for this being exclusive to Epic.
But also remember when everyone hated Steam.
That was absolutely a thing.
I remember the GIF of the Steam logo, but it was like a pump, and it was pumping somewhere not nice. everyone hated Steam for a while. I also loved the PC Master Race thing that hit, where it's just like, silly console peasants having to worry about exclusives in 2009, 2019. It's the scene from The Simpsons where all the kids are circling the monkeys fighting with the knife, and it's Steam and Epic, and it's all the consoles watching.
Because it's such a dumb complaint. Like, again,
because it's not like it's costing you anything. You just have to use another launcher, which, yeah, that's annoying. And maybe it's because I don't really have a horse in this race because I'm not a major PC player.
Mm-hmm. I have two or three launchers just on my laptop.
But you have to if you buy an EA game or an Ubisoft game.
You have to have Origin,
or
you have
Blizzard.
To have Uplay, you have to have the Blizzard launcher.
Yeah.
And each and every time one of these launchers releases, it's met with the same amount of animosity.
Mm-hmm. Except
now. Because everybody's like, why don't you just use Steam?
And Borderlands 2 is just now being review bombed on Steam. So they're getting to showcase the new Steam feature of, hey, so there's a weird number of reviews hitting between this period. So we're just going to take those reviews and not include them in the overall score. Because they don't have anything to do with the actual game.
Yep. And yeah,
because now a step that has to be taken.
Yep. Because the internet is
awful.
A bunch of angry children.
Mm-hmm.
Garbo.
So again, there are legitimate complaints about the Epic Game Store as it stands.
Yes.
By September, a lot of those complaints will have been addressed.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be okay, folks.
Yeah.
If you want to wait 6 months and pick up it on Steam, by all means.
Mm-hmm.
Just please do not punish the developers for the publisher's decision.
And even, like, I think it was Randy Pitcher was like, this was a 2K decision. This was not a Gearbox decision.
So, yeah, like, I mean, he's all, like, he posted support in as much as he probably should have for the company that's writing the checks.
Yes.
But it's still just, I don't know. It's not.
This reaction is unnecessary.
Exactly. This is a non-issue. It'll be okay. If you really, really hate the Epic Game Store to be on Steam in 6 months, then you can buy the game then. Don't hold it against Gearbox. The best way to show that you are against these timed exclusives is by purchasing the game on another platform.
Right.
If you don't purchase the game at all, you are just showing that the game was not interesting to you, not that you disagree with the decisions they made.
Yeah.
That's how the companies are going to view it. Anyway. That's the end of my Epic Game Store stuff. Back to Borderlands 3. So we got a character announced trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to see the four characters. It's going to be Moe, Fleck, Amara, and Zane.
Laney?
Oh, man.
Did you know this? You didn't tell us?
This guy does not look anything like
Zane.
That's
very true.
But, yeah, no, it's kind of awesome. That would have been... It's like, Zane Laney, I could play as Zane Laney? Yeah.
Just destroy everything. Just lift it. Lift it to death.
We don't really know what they're going to be. It looks like Amara is going to be the siren-ish class.
Melee class. The soldier class is going to have a mech you can call down that another player can, like, get in and, like, shoot at stuff out of a turret.
So we've now all known what I'm going to be playing as.
There's a Beastmaster class. Which I think was Zane.
Yeah, I think Zane is the Beastmaster. Zane is the soldier. He has like the arm turret. No, yeah, he was Beastmaster too because he had the wolf next to him.
Yeah.
And then you had like, I think Flack was, because they're not going with the traditional set.
Yeah.
Because I say Amara is like the siren. I think she is a siren,
mm-hmm.
but she has like, she goes full Vishnu.
Mm-hmm.
Multi-armed form.
Yeah.
Because she's going to be the melee class.
Yeah, it looks like, yeah, she's going to be the melee heavy class, but... So very different than traditional siren play.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I think Moe's is the one that can pull down the mech, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
And then Flack just looks like that's your robot this time around.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know a whole lot about what they can do because they were just kind of shooting regular guns. Other than, like, you saw Zane and Zane and Amara using some abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I
need to go back and rewatch them.
Yeah, I need to rewatch.
Because my brain is overloaded with Mortal Kombat trailer stuff.
We need to get through this so you can talk about Mortal Kombat.
Ooh, yeah.
Co-op has been confirmed. They've also talked about like an option for separate loot streams,
mm-hmm.
so you don't have to share loot anymore if you don't want to.
Good.
So if you have that friend that's being really stingy with everything, then you can do this. You can split up the loot. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, yeah, I didn't even get through the last of the additions here because we had the Diamond Loot Chest was the big one.
Oh, yeah.
That's the $250 one. Comes with that's how you get the Steelbook case, which I'm really bummed. That's the only way to get the Steelbook case.
Is it really?
Yep. It's also a GameStop exclusive,
which
the last time they, with Borderlands 2, when they had the Loot Box Edition, sold out in less than a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get one.
Yeah.
I was super upset about it.
I had the dude in Virginia try to, because it was releasing when I was moving from Cape to Virginia, so I didn't want to pre-order it in Cape because I wouldn't have been able to get it.
Right.
So I went around just to see like a bunch of GameStops in the area, and there was one guy who's like, well, we got one that hasn't been picked up yet. How much you want to buy it for? And I told him, retail.
MSRP, please.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to, and then so I was like, well, that's super shady of you.
Yeah.
Because he was just going to sell someone's.
Yep.
Pre-order.
Yeah.
And then pocket the extra.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's got a bunch of other stuff, too. Like, it's got, like, 10 figurines in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 4 keychains.
Actual, like, loot box.
Yeah, it'll be,
which apparently
like,
the
it
Borderlands,
comes in a loot box.
Apparently, the Borderlands 2 one sucked.
It wasn't great.
It was just a little case. Like, it didn't have...
I mean, it was pretty big.
Well, yeah, but it only, like, opened from the top. Like, it didn't have the platforms. It was just kind of a... It was just a tin, essentially.
Yeah, no, it was. It didn't go like full tackle box. Like you open it up and all the stuff spreads out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it ended up being, and it was plastic though, too.
Mm-hmm.
I remember because a certain manager at the time broke his.
Yep.
More on that later.
Okay.
Or at least, I mean, it wasn't like he did it on purpose or anything.
It was just happened. It wasn't because of the manager's fault. It was just this was pretty cheaply made.
Yep.
Which was a disappointment.
Yeah. So anyway, that is a bummer that it's the only way to get a steelbook. And I'm going to try and pre-order it because I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And then to rapid fire the last of this here, looks like the Switch is getting VR support via Nintendo Labo.
Which can confirm.
You have to hold up.
You do have to hold it.
Surely there will be something you can do to fix that problem.
Let me pull up the actual article because they reached out to Nintendo. During VR play, the Joy-Con controllers are attached to the Nintendo Switch system and accessible on either side of the Toy-Con VR goggles, allowing players to simply hold the system up to their face and control the game as normal.
I see.
That's
now.
The official statement of Nintendo.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's
you're
the image
it by...
they released is a picture of Mario holding up the Labo like a viewfinder.
Yep, nope, okay. Well, Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild are getting VR support, which those are both third-person games, so I'm unsure
I don't know how this works.
How that's going to work out. I guess we'll find out.
I know it's not going to work out having to hold the system like that.
Yep.
That's a terrible idea.
And the villains. I forgot to go back. Going back to Borderlands real quick, mm-hmm. The Calypso twins.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
They look cool. Super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like I dig it. Like every bit of edgelord inside of me loves the Calypso twins.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to this stuff. So yeah, Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild getting VR support, or of the games getting VR support. Super Meat Boy Forever has been delayed. It's no longer going to release in April. It'll probably be May or June.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still coming really soon, guys.
Because they're just not going to totally crunch and destroy their team trying to reach this deadline.
Right. See, they just pushed it a little bit.
Because they even said, like, we could get there. But it's not worth the sacrifice to the actual human beings who are involved in the process.
So right. Good for them.
And then a real petty shot at EA, which I here for.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then get your grains of salt ready because we got a big rumor. Best Buy may have leaked from an internal
employee
screenshot.
SKU listing. Yeah.
Yeah. Of Persona 5 for the Switch.
And I found the other two games.
Oh, good. What were they?
Let's see. The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past for Switch.
Oh.
And the Metroid Prime Trilogy for Switch.
Hmm. Those are also big. How did I not see them?
I'm not sure.
Because the article I read just talked about Persona.
Because, well, that was the first one. And then, so Wario64 is where this comes from. If you're not following him, he's great on Twitter because he posts deals all the time. And, like, sales that are being posted.
Mm.
But so, yeah, Persona 5 Switch version is in the system, Metroid Prime Switch, and then the next tweet was Legend of Zelda. And then his follow-up tweet was, this concludes tonight's Nintendo Direct. And then Best Buy has pulled the Persona 5 Switch, Metroid Prime Trilogy Switch, and Link to the Past Switch listings from their internal systems as of the next morning.
But, I mean, like, that makes it sound like they were there at some point. So, I mean, there could be some legitimacy to these leaks. All right, Asa, you have 2.5 minutes for your Mortal Kombat minute.
Ooh.
Well, try to stop me. We got Cetrion revealed with a trailer.
Mm.
It's basically Captain Planet, but a lady. She is an elder god. She is Shinnok's sister and total counterpoint. She is the elder god of life and nature instead of the elder god of death. She looks like she's going to be the character that I hate playing and will never go online because she just keeps people out with projectiles and stuff. She's not a traditional zoner. She just has a lot of keep out tools, which is going to be real annoying.
Yeah, the couple of things I looked at, I may have found my main for this game.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not going to play with you. I'm just have to get real good with Jade for her ability to walk through projectiles. And then we also got the combat cast, which showed off Aaron Black, who looks super cool. Also, not at least the two variations they showed, not super traditional zoner as well, which is a weird call. He still looked awesome. I loved his fatality, too, because it's just kind of really grounded compared to her growing to the size of she's standing over the planet and shoots down a giant countrywide beam that is then narrowed down to, like, the size of a person. Her second fatality, though, is awesome.
I almost saw the second one.
His is shooting down Aaron Black throws down a little pool of acid. And then that's in a whiskey bottle. Then he shoots out their knees and they land like, and they're stopping their face from hitting it. And then he just puts his boot on the back of their head and just pushes their face in and then stomps and like part of their jaw goes flying out.
Fatality.
Yeah. Super. We got to see Aaron Black. We got to see some of Noob Saibot, who I think is probably going to be more your main because he is more of a traditional zoner.
Fair.
He has a lot of special moves. Like, he doesn't have a lot of strings when they showed him through. And then we got another second character reveal in The Collector, who is Nightmare Fuel.
Yeah.
Six arms, two sets of arms are holding a backpack. He is Shao Kahn's essentially accountant, and who goes to the various towns and realms and collects tribute.
Neat.
Yeah. So he is like an old character lore-wise, but this is the first time we're seeing him in a game.
Mm.
His fatal blow is a fatality.
Yeah.
It ends with you sticking a knife through their head and then like slitting their throat.
Not a fatality.
Not a fatality.
Hashtag.
And that's all preceded by like four arms, four knives, just shanking you in the back repeatedly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gross.
This character's cool.
His fatality is just like he's just ripping into you, like pulling out organs, and yeah, it's gross.
Doesn't he like put the head in the bag?
Yeah, he puts the head in the bag.
Woo.
Yeah, it's but he looks awesome. There was something else worth mentioning, and I'm totally blanking on it. Oh, and then Game Informer, who got the reveal trailer for Cetrion, also have an exclusive like moves breakdown style, combat cast style. It's like 12 minutes long. You can go on their website, or I think it's on their YouTube page too, and check that out.
Because that's where they had the second fatality, right?
Yes. Yeah. Was that with a move breakdown list?
Yep. Because I saw that part.
Mm-hmm. Her fatal blow also is like, man, that should have been a. I would rather her like they should switch that fatal blow and her. First fatality, because it ends with like crucifying someone with rocks and then one going through their face.
Yeah, I saw that too. Okay, yeah. Maybe I watched that whole thing. Because, I remember watching and thinking like, oh yeah, Swamp Ivy looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. This game is so beautiful. And again, I can't say enough about the animations that they've worked on. Like, they have improved so much. This game looks amazing. I'm so excited. April 23rd needs to hurry up and get here.
And I am definitely going to play it with you here in the store on your system. all right. That's going to do it for us, though, guys. Thank you for listening. And, we'll see you next time.